Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 22 and chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says in verse 4, it says, "Go explain to them, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it. Now, what's worse, just for the record here, what's worse, making light of it as a guest or making light of it as his bride? If your bridegroom is coming, shouldn't we be excited about that? Looking forward to that? Trying to figure out how we can array ourselves in such a way as to be more pleasing to our King? I think we sometimes are too hard on the Jewish people. They walked by rote much of their time on earth as the center of things. And here we are with full grace. Got the backstory and the forestory. We got a clarity like nobody else has ever had on earth. We know what's coming and we know what happened. And so we've got it all. Do we make light of it? It says, "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and one to his merchandise." The word is interesting for merchandise. It's the word emporia. Emporium. They had all kinds of cool stuff. They went to their cool stuff. It was an emporium. Bible says in verse 6, "And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." Now, when he used the word remnant, Israel knew a lot about that word because in the Old Testament, they were kind of always this one guy. Like, there was Elijah, you know, that's kind of a remnant. He thought he was the only one. Well, there's 7,000 hands bowed the knee to Baal. And there was just a remnant in the whole nation. Remnant, remnant, remnants all over the place. When you got on the ark, it was just one guy. When he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was just Lot. I mean, yeah, his daughters came, but they were a mess. They probably never really recovered. They were such a mess. But Lot knew. He recognized the angels. Noah knew. But what about his family? Well, the Bible says in verse 6 that the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully. They slew them. You know, they took Isaiah and they put him in a log and they sawed him in half while he was alive. That's kind of hateful. It's undoubtedly Manasseh that did it. He was a mess as well. There's so many stories of the realities of how these people reacted poorly to God. And we have to be careful not to do that. The Bible says in verse 7, "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he set forth his armies and he destroyed those murderers and he burned up their city." Now, some passages you don't want to have to preach on. I don't want to preach on this one, but I'm going to tell you a few things about it. In 70 AD, that's exactly what happened to Israel. Titus of Rome came and they sacked the city and they tore it down. And you recall the disciples pointed Jesus to the temple and says, "Isn't this marvelous, this Herodian temple?" And he says, "Well, I'll tell you, not one stone will be left upon another." When Titus came, they literally sacked the city. They were throwing children in the air and catching them on spears. You know, when your hedge goes down, everything's in play. He says he was wroth with them. He sent forth armies. In this case, Rome was his battle axe. It not only has a near, but it has a far time frame. You also realize the Bible says that it's not just the Jewish people that murdered Jesus. But he was going to deal with this generation he was speaking to specifically. Matthew 24:2, the Bible says, "Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." 1 Thessalonians 2:15, "The Jews both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us." And that's Paul speaking, a Jewish man who has the right to speak to this issue. Jesus has the right to speak to this issue. I do not want to say anything unkind or inappropriate at this point, but I want you to know, Jesus said it, Paul said it, there was something very profoundly enraging about their behavior that God would send Titus of Rome. it was a very, very ugly demise. But lest we sit back and pat ourselves in the back and say, well, I may be apostate a little bit, just a little bit, I'm just a little bit over here, not all the way away. We also were there because the Bible says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered unto him a whole band of Roman soldiers, and they stripped him of his clothing, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand, and they mocked him, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him, and they took the robe from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Yes, it's true, the Jewish people said, crucify him that day, but the Gentile people had Pilate giving the word. And knowing he was giving it unjustly, sitting in the seat of judgment, which is really supposed to be always representative of God. It says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing with the people, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He was not innocent of the blood of that man. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And only by his stripes are we healed. So he did send an army. And he's going to send another one. But this one's coming from heaven. Revelation 19:14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. But this time he's coming to deliver them. And when they see him, they will mourn for him. As for an only son, the Bible says he sent out armies in verse 7 and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Literally, they didn't count themselves worthy. There's another passage that puts that kind of a hook on it, that they counted themselves unworthy of this. Verse 9 says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. There's that great commission. That's what the church does. Who are the servants? Well, in the beginning it was Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the works, the Father, John the Baptist. They were servants because Jesus came as a servant. He was a suffering servant. But we have his testimony, and they had all this witness. When he went off the scene, it was the apostles. Then it was the churches. And today it's the church. And the angels and the Spirit of God is still working. And there's all that going on. But the Bible says, go and bid as many as you shall find to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, when you're looking at this as the kingdom of heaven parable, which it is, you got to remember that when Jesus takes the church out, because he comes and gets his bride, when he takes the church out, there's going to be a lot of religious virgins. It says 10 virgins. 5 are foolish. They didn't have any oil, so they weren't saved. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They went in. They're all gone. Now, you've got servants, the wedding, the feast. We can make the feast. And that's what he's talking about, a feast. And so now, as soon as we're catapulted out of here, the Bible says God's going to seal 144,000 Jews. 12,000 from every tribe. And he's going to have them go out and preach to everyone. So they're going to be deliberate witnesses. You're going to have 2 men at the gate of the temple that will be rebuilt. And they're going to be preaching. And what they're going to do is they're going to preach for 3.5 years, die. And everybody's going to see them. They're going to give gifts because they were so horrendous to their consciences. They were making such an impact. And they're going to rise up 3.5 days later, and then all of the world is going to watch them ascend slowly, as if God is saying, I did this 3.5 years ago, to the day, and here we are now. And I did that in a twinkling of an eye. Let me do this slowly so you can see. They're going up, and they will be caught out of your sight in the cloud, because I'm taking them home. Guys, listen, God has a plan. It's a plan worth living for. It's a plan worth literally dying for. And many martyrs have been called upon to do that. And the Bible says the wedding was furnished. And then Jesus will come back with us, the bride. You see, the bride's not in view here. It's the guests that are in view. And the Israelites blew it. And he took out the first generation. It was within 70 A.D. Jesus was 33 A.D. roughly. So, you know, these people were, a lot of them were living that said, crucify him, right? Now, a lot of them got saved. And let me just tell you this. Part of the bride is going to be Jewish. Because it says in Revelation in chapter 5, it says that he saved us from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue. Every nation. That includes Israel in the church age. But the Bible says now the wedding was furnished. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, friend. That's an interesting word. Isn't that an interesting word? He says, friend, how did you come in here? How did you come in here without a wedding garment on? And he was speechless. Do you know when Jesus was crucified? It was because Judas came. And Judas kissed him. And how did Jesus respond? Chapter 25, verse 50, it says, and Jesus said unto him, friend, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. I want you to realize Jesus used all of his words very concisely. When you see this saying, you have no wedding garment on, I want you to know this is not talking about the righteous robes of Christ as much as it's talking about the fact that the church is an entity that God is gathering as the bride. And then over here, what you have is you have the wedding guests. Everybody pre-Jesus, pre-church age. And then you have these Israelites that were supposed to be the hub. There's going to be some people who were other than, I mean, Job was before Israel, right? Enoch was before. All they're going to come too. They're all going to be there. But there's going to be the bride, and that's the church. But this guy here is emblematic of one individual there with no... Can you see him? He's telling this, and he's looking at Judas. And he says, Judas, friend, aren't you happy for me to get married? For my son to get married, or whatever, how you want to look at it? You see, the hook here is, Jesus knew who it was that would betray him. He did stop at the table, and he's saying now, there was one guy in the room. Can you think maybe that he was looking at Judas? Friend, why don't you come? And they took him. And the Bible says, he had no wedding garment on. He wasn't happy to be there. What Judas wanted was something else. Just like it says elsewhere, where it says they, when Jesus perceived that they would take him and force him to be king, he went out from the midst of them. They were going to take him, and he slipped out. The Bible says in verse 13, then said the king to the servants, bind this man hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Guys, listen. What I said a minute ago, is it worse to be the bride who's not excited, or is it worse to be the wedding guests that aren't excited? I want to please my king. Hopefully you do too. And in pleasing him, we want to do what he wants us to do. He says, go ye into all the world. He says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents, be harmless as doves. Figure out a way to get under people. Figure out a way to love people. Be all things to all men that you might by all means save some. This is Paul's heart. He says, we are ambassadors. We beseech this world as if God was in us, saying, be ye reconciled to God. Why? Because you can. What an awesome God we serve. Would you bow with me? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.